dwelling in the darkest depths of the mind, it's time for Mark D. Valenti and Brain Burrow.
Hello, everyone. This is Mark D. Valenti for Brain Burrow. This is one of our special Digging Deep sessions where we have an opportunity to have our guests talk a bit about themselves, their motivation, their fears, their struggles, their triumphs. And I'm pleased to have on the show tonight Destiny C. Soria, who I had the privilege of working with on Christmas Slasher. So I'm going to hand it over to Destiny with the big question, as always for all the guests: who exactly is Destiny C. Soria?
Hi. Thank you for having me. Who am I? I always ask that myself. Well, I am an actress, director, writer, freestyle dancer, a very spiritual person, pretty wild. I guess I started acting in 2008. During that time, I had some struggles with my background of being Native American. I was just humans, they're kind of like, I don't know. I was a victim of a hate crime, and they didn't like the way I looked. They didn't like the way how I danced or who I was. And one night I just got attacked for it. And, you know, it made me think of life differently. I didn't know what I wanted to do after that. Like, I tried taking it to court, but where I used to live, the court system there was very sketchy. So it was, like, hard to take them to court and all this stuff. But during that time, like, I stayed at the house for a year because I didn't want to deal with anything or anyone. And I guess during that time, Twilight came out with Robert Pattinson. And I used to read the books before. Like, I knew it was coming out because I had, a trailer for it. And I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting. I want to see it. And they're like, oh, there's a book. There's, like a whole bunch of collection of books about it. So I was like, all right. So I read it. Was a big fan from that. And when I watched a movie, I saw Robert Pattinson. And I was like, I don't know. When I saw him, I was like, I want to be an actor. I want to be like him. And so I started to try to get into classes or did some research and found some classes up in the cities where I used to live and just went from there. And it actually really helped me because I also have like disability, and it was hard to speak to people or how to speak to people. And I was very shy. I didn't have a good speech. I had a speech disorder. Mm-hmm. So it helped me learn lines, learn how to say some things and memorize. And I loved it. Like, I started to get more into it. I was pretty much obsessed with acting. And it just helped me become who I am today. And I just, every time I'm on set, I don't even care if it's like extra work or, you know, crew. I just love being on set and just being around people and, you know, being more open, because it did help me get out of my shyness too. And I just love it. And let's see, like, I did a couple like skits of my own, like little short films and stuff when I used to live in LA. I lived there for 3 years. It was very like rush all the time, and I was kind of getting sad because like I wanted to do what I wanted to do now. Like, I wanted to sorry that somebody was in my room. It's my mom, my ghost. It's a ghost. I have a ghost in my room. Oh, I heard something over there. And,
No judgment on that, Destiny.
Yeah. And so I just like, I wanted to do my own stuff. Like, I always see like reboots. I always see things that are not original. And I'm like, I have so much stories. Like, I have like a lot of like ideas I wanted to come to life as a movie. And so I officially had my own production company 2016, and that's when Christmas Slasher started coming up. Like, I did a quick little goofy skit about it and then just left it because I wasn't like, what do I want to do? Like, what do I want to go with this? And then 3 years ago, I started wanting to do the short film. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is getting good. This is getting good. And we did some scenes, but then we had very bad, unprofessional people on set that pretty much ruined the footage. And so I was like, I was kind of stuck and upset because I was like, I wanted to finish this. I wanted to do something. But then everybody's like, why don't you do a feature film? Make it into a feature film. And then that's when COVID hit. And I was like, oh, I have plenty of time. I can like try to make a feature film. And then all of a sudden everything came together. And then when we did the Indiegogo, everybody had their idea. And I just like, we just made a feature film. and I was happy about it. Like, I was like, man, I'm making something. I'm making something cool. And I have like tons of scripts I got to finish up because I do want to keep making more movies. Like, I know end of next year I'm doing another, it's a sci-fi horror, and I'm going to do a novel for it too during that time. So I was like, I'm going to keep making crazy movies.
Yeah. I mean, you seem very inspired to create and put it out there.
Yeah.
So where does your inspiration come from?
Dreams.
Okay.
Like, I always have, like, these dreams, they just come to me. And, like, Christmas last year and the one I'm doing next year was from dreams I had. And I was like, from dreams. And then Rudolph, the clay animation, I was thinking about, because that's my favorite animation, is the Rudolph one. And then Elf. And then I'm like, hold on, something's coming. Like, okay, I love, what's it called? It's that horror one with Santa Claus and what's his name? What is he? He's that demon thing.
Krampus.
Krampus. Yeah. And they're fighting, and then there's elves that are zombies. Yes,
that's right.
So I was like, okay, that's my favorite horror movie, Christmas horror. It? Yeah. Okay. And I was like thinking, like, what about Rudolph? What about Rudolph? Can we make, like, I'm like, dude, I'm making a movie about Rudolph, but it's going to be super goofy and like kind of makes fun of the clay animated Rudolph with a mix of the 80s style, like, horror films. So I just like smash them together and there you go. And wow. If I like something, my favorite movie, I'm like, how about we do it this way? You know, like, let's see what happens. So I was like, that's how I got that from. And then the second movie I'm doing, I had a dream about it. So I was like, all right, I'm write it down and let it go. Write more onto it.
Interesting. Okay. I actually didn't realize that you were influenced so much by your dreams. So that's interesting. Okay. And so are you the type of person that believes that dreams are sort of a reflection of your subconscious versus some sort of outside influence? In other words, where do you think your dreams come from?
From other universes. Okay. I think we're connected in some way with the universe and Gaia. And I do believe that spirits come and visit us in our dreams too. Like my grandma, my mom, you know, they passed away, and my little grandma, they come in and talk to me in my dreams. So it's like another gateway, I believe, to another, like, different universe, a different portal to see your family again, or your family wants to speak to you. That's how they speak to you, through dreams and stuff. And, you know, even also, like, it's like also from your past or what your future will hold, it comes to you in your dreams. In that way.
No, clearly you have a lot of well thought out ideas about the dreams and the influence that they have and where they come from. So thank you for sharing that. So you mentioned family. So tell me about, what does family mean to you?
Like Lilo and Stitch. Oh, how, I forgot how to say it. How do you say it?
I don't know. I know the show, but I don't know what they say.
I trashed. I goofed that up. But, you know, yeah.
No. If you don't know the quote, that's okay, because I don't either. So what's the gist behind the quote, though?
Family means everything. Even, you know, I don't see the world, I don't see the word as family. It has to be that person that's loyal to you, like loyalty. Even if they're not blood related, they're still family because they're loyal. You know, they're there for you 100%, and whatever happens, they're there. Either way, like, if they get mad over something you did, we say sorry all the time. We get over it, you know? And
yeah.
A family is like, you know, a pack. Like, you stick together no matter what. No matter what anybody has done or they do. Like, I had a situation a couple years ago. I had a fiance and ex. And stuff happened when my mom passed away and he wasn't really there for me, and I just got tired of him not caring the way I care for him. Mm-hmm. So so has to deal with my sister and him. I saw something horrible and I just felt betrayed by her. I love her, but I don't see us connecting that much because of what she did with him. Mm. And, you know, she's still my family. I will always love her. But it's the fact that that happened. I'm not really connected with her. And family, you forgive. You have to forgive and love them. And, you know, I love her. I forgive her. But it won't be the same like it was before.
Yeah, that's well said. And thank you, by the way, for talking about this, because it doesn't sound like it was an easy situation to live through.
No.
Just to say the least. Well, and I think you did a great job of identifying family as a word, and we're related by blood, but it doesn't mean that the loyalty is there. And it sounds like you value loyalty as an important trait in your life.
Yes.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah. So, if somebody, let's say, betrays you and they lose that, you know, that loyalty, is it ever possible for them to get that back?
Like I said, I will forgive them, but I don't see that being close to me anymore. Like it's gone. It's gone.
Sure. Yeah. That betrayal, kind of cuts deep.
Yeah.
To say the least. And it's okay. And again, I appreciate you talking about this. It's not always easy. So thank you for sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to talk about on that topic? You don't have to. It's up to you.
I think we're good. I mean, like I said, families, it's just a word. It depends on how loyal they are to you and that they're there for you 100%.
Sure. No, that makes sense. And that's a great way to frame that. I want to talk about, you know, you had talked about, of course, being influenced by Twilight. But before the movie came out and Robert Pattinson, were a fan of the books. Mm-hmm. So talk about that. So what did getting into that world of the Twilight books, what did that mean to you? Why was that, what was that like for you?
I'm such an imaginary person. Like, I believe and know, like, when I start reading something, I feel like I'm that person, and it feels so weird because I'm you know, it's like a movie in my mind when I'm reading the books. And I just love the fact that Bella in that book is a goofball. She's a girl, you know, she's a character. And I'm always like, man, if they make a movie out of this, I want to be her. I want to be her because I feel like I am her. And I don't know, when I'm in another world, when I read books, like I feel like that I am that person that I'm actually like in the book.
Projecting yourself into there. Makes sense. Yeah. So what do you do to relieve your stress? I mean, it sounds like reading may be something that you do whenever you're feeling stressed. What else do you do?
I paint, draw, hike. I love hiking. Or like if it's late nights and I really don't really have much to do, I just go joyriding. I love to go joyriding, driving around.
Okay.
Especially in the back countries. I love those.
Oh, yeah? And what does that mean to you, driving around like that? What does that do for you?
It like soothes me. It relaxes me, and I get to think of other ideas and things that I want to do in the future. Like, it helps out a lot.
Yeah, so it kind of clears your mind a bit, so you can focus on creativity.
Yep.
If you were to look back, let's say in the past year, how has Destiny C. Saria changed from, you know, this past year? What have you learned about yourself? How have you changed?
Being a director, like, being more focused, what I want, I want it, I get it. You know, like, I know I'm very straightforward now and, like, really honest. Like, I will tell you straight up what I think and feel. And I'm more, like, more strict. Like, if there's something that's going on, I'm going to straight up say it, like, how I feel, like, this is not right, this is wrong. And just being more focused, like, it changed me a lot. Like, I grew up more and learned more about how projections do and how, and I have good people who help me out, too, because I had a hard time understanding how payments are for, you know, talents and stuff, and that helped me out a lot. So I've learned a lot, and it's stressful, it really is, but I've learned to love it more, like, absolutely obsessed with it even more as a director and writing, and I'm like, I want to keep doing this because this is awesome. Like, I get it now. I got it, and this is great. I'm making magic happen.
Right, so it's worth the stress, basically.
Yeah, it is worth the stress. It's worth of all that, and in the very end of it, I just made something awesome and a masterpiece.
Yeah, and you said that's very important to you to be able to kind of tell the story. Go ahead.
I'm busy! I'm on a podcast! Why do you do this to me?
We'll edit that part out, don't worry. unless you want... Unless
you want... You know what? Let's go
unless
for
you want
it.
That, unless you want it on there. If you want it on there, that's the real life of your life. It's up to you.
Do it. Because every time... I love you too! I'm on a podcast! This is like the fifth time... I'm podcast. I'm on podcast. Fine. Make me a sign. Shut up. I need to get a sign. Live.
Recording
I'm live.
In process. Recording
in progress. Yeah. I'm just going to get a red light, that red light. So right. When I'm on, it's like, that's what it means. Don't talk to me.
That's right. Well, you know, we'll leave that in because I think it's a real life dynamic, right? You never know what's going to happen on the show. No. So.
I knew he was going to do that. Stop! Oh, golly.
So, well, and I think, so actually it's relevant what you just communicated there, very direct, right? Because that's what you said, how you've changed in the last year, being able to be more direct. And that was pretty much it, by the way. So, and I know personally I was a recipient of some of that on set, as I appreciated, believe it or not, when you said,
come on.
And actually, one of the things that I like to tell a story about is just how direct you were, not only just on set, but also before that. And I'm like, listen, like I the reason I like working with Destiny is because she tells me what it is. If I do something wrong, if I don't do a scene right, she'll tell me. There's no guessing. Mm-hmm. And I actually prefer that. So I think that's good. So what was that like for you, though, to kind of train? You said you kind of moved from one point a year ago to now where you are more direct. And it's there's a term called radical candor where you're being very honest and very in a radical way. So what was that journey like? What was that journey like for you to get to this point?
Oh, it was like a roller coaster. So much stuff going on. It was like crazy. Like before we were about to start, in the middle of when we started, afterwards, I get all these negativity. And I'm like, this is my first movie. And I got these people, my first feature film, what are you doing? What? Like, I had a couple of people try to take my idea, change the script around, and I'm like, I'm not working with you anymore. I'm not working. Get out of here. Don't change my script. Don't change my script. Don't change my story. And then I have, like, some dude kept asking to be in the movie, and then all of a sudden he's making a trailer that looks like mine with the ex-makeup artist who dropped out because she didn't know how to make an 80s-style cheesy gore. My movie... I don't want realistic. It's supposed to be funny. It's supposed to be super cheesy, just like Evil Dead, how they're all messed up. And you can tell it looks fake. And I'm like, that's what I want. And she keeps saying, well, it's going to cost you. I'm like, look, lady, there's cheap ways to doing it. I don't want real. I want fake. That's what I'm going for. And she's just like, bye. I'm like, okay, bye. And then... all of a sudden, I get tagged in this trailer, and I'm like, oh, it's the same people who are harassing me to be in the movie of mine. They're over here copying me. And I'm like, all right, well, we're going to have to – I'm going to let that go for now. Let it go. I'll worry about that later and worry about the movie right now. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, more negativities, which you were in that bubble. I'm just going to say stupidity. Mm. I never in my entire life met these things that are stupid things, mm. stupid. I don't know a word. Okay, calm down.
It's okay. You can let it out if you want. And again, you can swear if you want. We'll just mark it as explicit, as I said. That is up to you.
Okay. Just, I don't know another word for it. I never in my entire life have experienced this before.
Hmm.
And I'm like, what? just bunch of stupidity.
So that's a good question, right? So I know, and again, just from being sort of aware of some of these things, that you've had to persevere a lot, like you had to get through a lot over an extended period of time in all sorts of different areas.
It's
so
nuts.
Yeah, so how do you do that? How are you able to keep going in spite of all these different things that keep kind of getting thrown in your way?
I was about to quit. Mm. Like the last day of the shooting, February. No. Mm-hmm. No, February, I was about to quit. Like, really? On set, I was about to quit because of that situation. And then we had new situations. And I'm just like, this doesn't need to be like this.
Hmm.
I'm just like, I got sick. I couldn't eat for 3 days on set because wow. of all that. Like, it started catching up to me. And I was like, oh, no. And then on top of whatever happened, like that little drama I had on that set, too, I was like, really, people. Communication is the key. Hmm. Communication is the freaking key. You got a problem, talk to somebody about it. Like, yeah, I was about to quit, but then, you know, people were there to push me, and I was like, you know what? F this. I'm going to finish this damn movie, and I will deal with them later. All right. I will deal with them later. I'm going to make this movie happen. And then... Yeah. What was it? January, February, March. March came around. That was amazing. That was great. Oh, everybody came in, did their part and stuff. Hilarious. Like, every time I'm on set with all of you, it's just, I crack up. I mean, you heard my goose noise laugh. That's how funny it was when hey, she's making the goose noise. That means it's good. And it turned out great. And then... Once we were going to start shooting again, that's when those people try to stop my production.
Hmm.
SAG got a hold of me.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, here it comes. You know, here it comes. Because right. I heard rumors. So I'm like, right. All right, here it comes. Did the Zoom meeting. She talked to me. I talked to her. I told her what was really happening. She's mm-hmm. like, don't worry about it. Just find new people. Do the scenes over again. But take a 2-month break. Let's fix the SAG forms, right?
Mm-hmm.
And get that stuff situated and then start filming again. And I cried because I was like, mm-hmm. that time my grandma just passed away. And that's when all that stuff happened on the medias. And I was just like, no respect.
Hmm.
No respect for my family. My grandma just passed away. I was furious. I was like, okay. Hmm. Okay, you're going to do all this to me. Okay. All right. Then, so all that happened. And, yeah, I was telling her what happened and stuff. And she's on, you know, SAG is on my side. So... I'm happy about that. We did have to take a 2-month break because of all that situation, and we're going to start filming again. But, you know, I cried to her. I told her, like, this is my first movie. I have no idea what's going on. I don't know why they would do this. Actually, I know why. But I'm just like I said, are you knocking on the door? Oh, beat your... Sorry.
It's okay.
I keep hearing knocking. What are you doing? where was I? I just like lost the train of thought.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you were talking about how you've basically, there's been multiple situations where you felt really low. You're talking about talking with this SAG person, and you've basically poured your heart out and said, listen, this is my first movie, but it sounds like you got support. And it goes back to what your word for this discussion is, which is loyalty. So it sounds like you have support and loyalty from SAG and moving forward.
Yep, I very blessed, and yeah, I told her, I told her everything, and I'm just happy. Like we get back to filming in June. Got two more days. Of course, we had one day, but we had to do 2 days because we had to do some scenes over again.
You're almost to the end of this road, then obviously it goes into editing and post-production and everything else. So it sounds like
Yeah.
that you see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes, thank God. It was so
And
dark.
well, and what you said, even filmmaking is stressful anyway, as you said, it's always worth it. So
Is.
sounds like this is all worth it.
It is going to be so worth it. An epic, big win for me. I'm already, it's so creamy. It's, I can taste it. I can feel
That's good. I like that. I'm glad
I'm
that.
like, what's wrong
No,
with this
this
girl?
could.
She odd.
There's nothing. First of all, there's no odd. We're all individuals. And second of all, it's great to see you enthusiastic about things. It's coming across as genuine joy about all this. And I think that says a
Yeah.
lot.
I'm so
So
happy.
that's no, that's great. I have a final question for you as we kind of wrap this up.
See? Yeah. Well, see means yes.
Oh,
Yeah.
see, yes. Clearly, I'm from
You're like,
not paying
what?
attention. Yes. So yeah, so you're ready for that, right? It's actually
Mm.
not a hard question, but I think it's for the people that are listening or viewing this now, what would you like them to walk away with after this? What do you want them to know about destiny?
I'm weird. No.
That could be your answer.
Yeah. No, I'll give you advice.
Okay.
Keep pushing. You can always do something that you want to put your heart in. Like if you are so passionate in something, but you're kind of struggling, it's like you can still do it. You can still fight for what you believe in. You can still fight for your dreams. You can still fight to be where you want to be at life. At life. Like it's hard work, but at the end you're going to be rewarded. And the only way you can do this is have a good heart and a good soul and a good mind, meaning like you have to do good deeds no matter what. Like it could be like somebody asking for a quarter. Like if you had a quarter, like you had a change, give it to somebody who needs it. If somebody needs help, help them. If you see somebody crying, like I was at the mall when I was young. I don't know when it was, but I saw this girl by Hot Topic and she was crying on the ground and stuff, like sitting on the ground. I went up to her and I talked to her. And she, after I was done, she's like, I thank you so much for coming and talk to me because I was thinking about bad thoughts that I wanted to hurt myself. Always talk to somebody. Smile back. It's always helps. Always do good deeds because in the future you're going to get awarded no matter what. You can't be negative all the time. You can't be evil. You can't have an ugly heart. Like you have to do something nice and keep going. Do what you love to do. Take your time. Go on vacations. I need to go on vacation. I'm gonna go on vacation. All this stuff. I'm going on a month vacation in October. Going to Hawaii, Mexico. Because after
Nice.
this, I'm going on vacation. After I'm done with the movie and getting rid of all the negativity, evilness that's around me, get rid of them. I'm done. I'm like, bye. I'm on vacation. I did my year, and then next year I'll finish up. But yeah, just keep going. Don't listen to anybody. Don't. Sorry with the hand waving stuff.
Yeah, I apologize. It just means you're passionate about the topic.
Yeah.
And I think with that, I think it's a great way to sort of end this. And I think you're basically saying, believe in yourself, persevere no matter what. And it also sounds like you need to sometimes take time to recharge as well.
Yes.
Makes sense. Yes. Okay. All right, Destiny. I want to thank you for being on the show today. It was great to kind of hear
thank
your
you.
Perspective on things. Yeah.
I have to burp.
That's okay. Excuse well, that's okay. We'll
sorry. It was like in stuck in my throat.
That's all right.
I had
just,
to.
It's, this is all real life, so it makes sense. Any bodily
is it
functions
real life?
Are okay. Yes, is it? I think so.
Yeah.
All right. And so for Destiny, I also want to thank all the viewers and listeners for tuning into Brain Burrow. And for Destiny, this is Mark DiValenti. Have a fantastic day.
Bye.
You just dug deep with Mark D. Do you want more? Follow Mark on Instagram @ValentiHorror and subscribe to the Brain Burrow podcast.